his enlightenment to his beautiful yuppie followers. Many are devoted, but some who split his ranks didn't like his spiritual message or his so-called sexual initiation rites.
If sex is on the agenda, I don't want to do it.
And watching our report tonight, the guru himself, Zen Master Rama, will get his reaction right here. Welcome to A Current Affair. The Zen Master's alleged rites of initiation and his reactions to our report tonight. And also the secret underwear of the 80s. We'll have those stories after this. They seem to have more gurus than beaches in California, but their popularity isn't as seasonal. Take the case of Zen guru called Master Rama, known to some as the yuppie guru. His followers are as young and beautiful as any under the desert sun. But not all are in agreement tonight about his fast road to enlightenment. As our Mary Hughes reports, some former members say their problems started with the so-called initiation rites.
He said that sex with him was not an action based on desire between two people. It was strictly a spiritual exercise. And he's going, oh, what's the problem? You know, I said, if sex is on the agenda, I don't want to do it. And he says, the heck you don't.
He has no needs, no desires. His only one concern is the evolution of others, their growth, their spiritual growth.
He has a fantastic lifestyle. He flies around Lear jets and limousines and can buy his mistresses thousands and thousands of dollars worth of clothes. And
he's a very intelligent, articulate, funny individual. And my experiences with him have only been that he is kind and caring and that he is everything he says he is. This is my belief.
Then is he an enlightened being?
Yes, I feel he is.
His name is Rama, a self-proclaimed Zen master who has been quoted as saying that he is one of 12 enlightened beings on the planet. His resume reputedly goes back thousands of years and many incarnations. He was a high priest in Atlantis, an occult teacher in ancient Egypt, a yoga master in India. In this lifetime, he is Dr. Frederick Lenz, an English PhD, author of Total Relaxation. At least he was until he became a mystic and teacher of Buddhism under the name Atmananda. But today, he spends millions in advertising dollars promoting himself as Zen Master Rama, teacher of Tantric Zen. He promises a fast way to enlightenment. And in seminars across the country, hundreds pay tens of hundreds to attend Rama seminars. Today, he is also fighting an onslaught of negative publicity. Newsweek magazine has called him Zen Master of PR, and the LA Weekly has dubbed him the Cosmic Seducer. He is accused by ex-followers of sexual coercion, mind control, misrepresentation, and drug abuse.
He was telling his students he's beyond sex, he's celibate, in other words, that he uses the money that he gets from the group to expand his program and reach new people, that he doesn't do drugs, that he eats a certain diet, that he's working tirelessly for the welfare of his students day and night, sleeping minimal hours, this kind of thing. Now, the other extreme was true, as a matter of fact, that he was doing drugs, lots of LSD and things, that he was living a lavish lifestyle, spending all of this money on his own personal life, that he didn't work a day, that he drank and, you know, this kind of thing.
And he was very interested in women.
Oh, God. You don't get more promiscuous. Yeah.
I never thought that it would be a sexual relationship. I thought of him as strictly as a teacher, and I was the disciple. But he had other ideas in his head at that point. His reasons for having sex with his women students, he said that he had sex with many of his women students. It was strictly a spiritual exercise. Designed to energize me and raise my awareness level up to a higher realm.
So I
could understand his words and his great wisdom.
Steve Putnam and Mercedes Hughes were students of Rama. Mercedes Hughes spent months traveling with Rama at his expense. He shared his taste for the finer things in life, bought her thousands of dollars worth of clothes. But what began as a honeymoon turned into a nightmare when Rama showed his darker side.
What he started doing was giving me LSD. Now, I had never taken LSD before I met him, and he would hypnotize me and put me in trances and play with my head for hours and hours and hours about how powerful he was, and he'd say, look at me, see how I changed, see how powerful I am. And the worst thing he did was he convinced me slowly that I was possessed by demons. You know, he's constantly talking about demons and lower forces who possess you and people, you know, stealing your energy and attacking you, making you sick. It's all very, you know, macabre.
And Stephen sick. King is one of the...
yes.
Stephen King.
He, you know, he tells all of the students to read Stephen King books.
Why?
Because he said it's a reflection of the way the world really is.
I'm very nervous. I'm very scared. Half of me is going, my guts are going, what's going on here? Why am I alone with this man? Why is he in short shorts? This is real scary. You know, I don't feel good about this. And the other part of me is saying, Annie, don't be silly. This is your spiritual teacher. If there's anybody you can trust.
Annie Eastwood was another woman who says Rama offered her special spiritual guidance. She was invited to a private meditation at his estate. She says it turned into a sexual encounter she now sees as rape.
He goes in the bathroom. He comes out with a cocked gun and a towel wrapped around his waist. I jump, 3 feet. He goes, what's the problem? I go, the gun, like this. And he goes, oh, this? This is for my own protection. Sets it down on the floor. Come on over. Okay, there it is. I don't need to have it put to my brains.
Rama followers point out that Annie never filed charges against Rama and that she did not leave the group until months later. She says it took her time to realize what had happened to her. They say she enjoyed Rama's attentions.
She was in love with him, and she told that to a lot of people pretty freely and proudly. She was very excited about it, and when she talked about it, it was as if that was the most interesting gentleman she'd ever met, the greatest sexual affair she'd ever had, etc.
So this is a preposterous story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She was in love with a man, and I think that she is a woman that has a personal vendetta against Rama.
Richard Lofton has worked closely with Rama and knows Mercedes Hughes.
So you don't believe Dr. Lenz gave her LSD?
Of course not. No. I mean, his posture on the subject is so anti-drugs that it would be impossible for me to believe at any time, whether I was there or not.
And you don't believe he takes it himself?
Of course not. No.
So you don't believe he approached Annie or approached Mercedes?
No, of course not. No. If anything, it would be the other way around. I mean, I've seen it too many times. I mean, it's like the only way I could relate to it is a recording and being in the music industry is like a groupie syndrome.
The study of Zen leads to higher ranges of awareness, to what we call enlightenment.
Present students of Rama insist that all the horror stories about him are the product of a few disgruntled detractors and an effort on the part of an organization called the Cult Awareness Network to discredit Rama. Joe Zimhart deprogrammed a number of Rama students. He says Rama and his following have all the earmarks of a cult.
It fits the pattern of any typical cult in terms of its general principles, with the charismatic leader, with the kind of untraditional doctrines, the fact that the disciples are very devoted to this leader and will divorce themselves from association with their family or with friends from the past and so forth.
Does this have anything to do with Zen?
Very little with actual Zen traditions.
Is he dangerous to these kids?
He's dangerous to their mental health, I think.
Zimhart says the manipulative nature of Rama's philosophy is evident in the audio cassettes he puts out. In a tape called Psychic Self-Defense, Rama warns that people will drain his students of their life energy.
It is possible to tap into someone's life energy, just like you can lift out money from their wallet if they're not aware of it. Just like in the old stories, the vampire can drain blood from the victim and weaken them.
He discourages relationships with family and outsiders.
And I always think it's a good idea to put as much distance between yourself and your family as possible.
He warns his women students against sexual relationships. Men will destroy their energy.
Most women lose their power in sexual relationships. So as a woman, if you're interested in light and enlightenment, then it is necessary to detach yourself from men. For both men and women, children can be a tremendous obstacle to enlightenment.
And Rama sometimes puts forward a view of the world that most of us would find difficult to understand.
The universe is completely chaotic.
That's what makes it work so well. Its chaos is predictable. It's the most orderly chaos that there is. Uniform chaos is much more orderly than order.
I can tell you that Rama seminars is in no way, shape, or form a cult. That's the most ridiculous claim in the world. If anything is a cult, it's the Cult Awareness Network, and I will tell you that. That is a cult. They use brainwashing techniques, everything they say they're against. Brainwashing, mind control, coercion, force, drugs, sleep deprivation. They use all of those techniques. They physically abused me. They had me locked in this hotel for 11 days until I renounced my belief system.
Jennifer Jacobs was kidnapped and deprogrammed by the Cult Awareness Network. She has since returned as a student of Rama and has gone to law enforcement officials to file complaints against her kidnappers.
I consider myself to be a Buddhist, and I've been a Buddhist since before I attended Rama seminars.
Zen Buddhism, Hindu Buddhism,
Buddhism.
Yoga?
Buddhism.
Which Buddhism?
You don't necessarily have to classify it, I wouldn't think.
The only thing that predisposes them to being influenced by someone like Rama would be their lack of knowledge of what spirituality is, what the great traditions have taught, what meditation can do to them physiologically, etc., etc. They tend to be very naive about spirituality in general, and they're easily filled in with whatever Rama wants to teach them.
That is a pompous, self-righteous man, and that is the attitude of the whole Cult Awareness Network. These people, there are a whole bunch of deprogrammers who make $50,000 to $70,000 a year at least. Plus, there's a lot of people who are out there persecuting anyone whose religious beliefs do not agree with theirs. They don't have any right. I am 22 years old. I'm a legal adult. They have no right. They can be concerned all they want, but they have no damn right to kidnap me.
Rama followers insist they are just fine, thank you, but others want him put out of business.
I like him put out of business. I like him off the charts. He should not have permission to go out there and act out his insanity on innocent people. I want him stopped. I think he's a very, very evil, evil man.
With us now, Zen Master Rama, and also called Dr. Frederick Lenz. He is with us tonight here in New York. Welcome, Master Rama.
Well, thank you. Rama's just fine.
All right, Rama. What do you think of the report?
Well, I think you did a very balanced job in terms of the story. It's the first balanced one I've seen. I did an interview with Newsweek for an hour and a half, and they didn't print any of it.
Right.
I introduced them to these people, so I think you've done a very balanced job.
All right. Well, that's not what I wanted. What I wanted was you have no reaction to some of the things that seem most disconcerting to some people. Let's start out with, are you one of the 12 enlightened beings on Earth?
I am an enlightened teacher. And it would take about an hour to explain what that means.
All right. Who are the other 11?
Well, there's a very well-known gentleman in India called Satya Sai Baba, and so on and so forth. Names
now,
you wouldn't even know.
What of those charges, those sexual charges,
very
from
good.
One of those ex-followers, some of those ex-followers, I mean, they're very serious.
Well, they're very absurd is what they are. They're not serious. These people are all part of the Cult Awareness Network. Lisa Hughes, who you saw...
You don't deny that they were within... your seminars, you got to know them, you've admitted that you have indeed had sexual relationships with some of them.
I went to bed with Lisa Hughes, yes, that's true, and with Annie Eastwood. They were two people I went out with, and there was no abuse. I haven't gone out with women since I've been about 14 years old, as I imagine you have.
Well, what is this? Is this some creation in their minds? It's pretty detailed.
Well, if you'd like an explanation, it's pretty simple. They're part of a group called the Cult Awareness Network. Lisa Hughes, for example, takes part in deprogrammings and kidnappings, as does Steve Putnam, who was on.
How do you preach detachment of sexuality from enlightenment, and yet you go out with the people who come to your seminar?
Well, to begin with, I don't preach detachment from sexuality. It's easy to draw quotes out of context. What I suggest that people do is be aware of their sexual interactions and see, is it benefiting your life?
Are you rich?
No, not particularly. It depends what you mean by rich.
Well... You've got a big house in Malibu. You've got two Porsches.
You have chartered airplanes. I don't have a house.
Well,
in
you
Malibu.
Rent a big house in Malibu.
I rent a small house in Malibu. There's quite a difference. I imagine you make more a year than I do.
I don't have two Porsches, and I don't have a rented house in Malibu. But
I understand. But I think you make more than I do.
Well,
yeah.
Well, then, how do you get the money to pay for those I mean, a Porsche costs over $60,000. If you're renting from Goldie Hawn, you're talking about...
I don't rent from Goldie Hawn. That was years ago that I rented a house from Goldie Hawn. The Porsches are quite old, as a matter of fact, and I just like antique Porsches. You know, it's very easy to distort things and blow them out of proportion, but let me come to the Cult Awareness Network. Your question is all this stuff true,
right.
And why are these people saying what they're saying?
Right.
My response is that these are individuals that are part of a group that goes around on a regular basis discrediting religious figures,
all right,
called the Cult Awareness Network. I'm just their latest hit.
We are going to find out about that and
right.
Exactly what indeed their reasons for being are.
Right.
We have given you assurances that you would be here chatting with me and that you would have your opportunity to talk to us about the report that you just saw. You've had that. And that we would interview you alone. We do have another guest. And our next guest is... maybe you don't want to stay around for him. Maybe you do. Maybe you know this gentleman from New Mexico. Maybe you don't. But we're going to talk to Joe Zimhart, head of the Cult Awareness Network.
No,
we invite you to stay. And
I'd love to.
Fine. Terrific.
No problem at all. You know, this guy is not the head of the Cult Awareness Network.
All right.
This is a deprogrammer who's hired to do kidnappings for $50,000 a hit.
Well, good. I think for the first time, you two gentlemen might be able to talk to each other.
Why not?
After this. First time that we know of, Rama and Joe Zimhart will be able to have a chance to chat with each other. First of all, do you believe that Rama creates bad mental health in people, like you said in our report?
I believe that it's possible that someone who engages in following Rama's doctrine will possibly enter into a delusional type of outlook on life.
Well, then let me ask you this. You are a deprogrammer. You deal with those who have either been inculcated into cults or follow cults, become followers. What does he do that creates such loyalty?
Well, for one thing, he sets himself up as something that he is not. A Zen master, an enlightened being, a person who can traverse in the occult world at will, etc. He is not representing any legitimate Zen tradition that I know of, and he doesn't seem to have any particular powers other than being able to induce trance inductions in people.
What do you say?
I've been accepted by the three largest Zen Buddhist monasteries in Kyoto as a teacher. They've invited me to bring students anytime. Step one. Step two, I do two-night-a-month seminars that a person attends and may or may not attend again. I don't see how this rates as a cult. I think we're talking about two different items here. I do seminars that are like real estate seminars in very simple Buddhism. I think the attack here is not Zen Master Rama, it's Buddhism and meditation and the ability to look within yourself and find God and truth. And these guys don't like that, and they get paid professionally to kidnap people who want to explore our First Amendment right, and that's freedom of religion. It's an interesting business you're in.
So in other words, he just accused you of the same thing that you said that he does.
Well, what he's saying is not true. Most of the cases that I work on are voluntary. I do not kidnap people myself. Often the families will hire a security team to secure the individual. And in about 1 out of 10 cases that I work on, I may come in and counsel that individual after they've been secured.
Joe, let me ask you this. What's the worst case scenario you have found in somebody that you have deprogrammed about Rama?
The worst?
Yeah.
Probably an inability to function in the real world.
One of his sex?
Probably, yeah.
You've had some of his ex-followers talk to you about sexual relationships?
Yes, certainly. I work with Mercedes Hughes, and I work with a lady who was being set up to be his next mistress.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I know that this gentleman was involved in the kidnapping of Jennifer Jacobs, and she has filed charges against him with the Seattle police. They held her in a motel room for 11 days, showed her Charles Manson videos. This seems to me to be what we would call kidnapping and programming. Their methods are very similar to what they used against our guys in North Vietnam and in Korea.
All right, we have to end up. You want to react at all quickly to that, Joe? We have to wind this up.
For one thing, the process we use is fairly open. We don't use just Charles Manson tapes. You know, I can describe in a longer session what we really do, but for one thing, I do not work for the Call Awareness Network, neither does any deprogrammer that I know of. They're independent people.
All right, we have to wind this up. I'm glad at least that you two have had a chance to chat with each other.
Nice to see you, Joe.
See you too. Later.
Bye sometime.
All right, and we'll see our viewers after this. Thank you.